So what did you learn? What did you notice? Was it, say again?
A lot of stuff.
Touching
is very powerful.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How specifically?
It just really gets your attention.
Uh-huh.
And it can set it up in a good way or a bad way. I mean, if the next thing is a negative, then it gets you're really paying attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's positive, it makes it better.
Right. Yeah, so the power of touch can be helpful or not, depending on, like, many of those things we were talking about before. Did you notice anything specific around, like, quality, duration, something along those lines that really made a difference?
The quality of touch. I didn't get it. No, I didn't go that far. I didn't think of that. Next time, I'll think about that.
Yeah. So that's something, again, to experiment with, you know, as you're practicing with each other is, you can... These kinds of distinctions, you can get finer and finer and finer discriminations with it. I mean, there's no end to it, really. So it's a very powerful thing to notice. Other experiences? Yeah.
One of the things I've noticed in general about learning techniques is, I mean, it was touched on with the question about intention. And what my personal experience, and I just feel to share this, is that when I've learned techniques and then begun to practice techniques with people, I often, even if I'm doing the techniques perfectly, I won't be getting the response that I really want.
Mm-hmm.
And when that intention is there, without the intention behind it, the techniques are just almost, they're soulless.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So if the intention is there that I want to have this harmonious interaction with this person, and then combine when you become, have a then it all flows.
Yeah.
So the intention must be there.
That's a very powerful point. Very powerful point. It makes a massive difference in the effectiveness of what you're doing if your intention is congruent with what it is you're doing. You know, and so as we go through, for example, if your intent is to be in rapport with somebody, then that's going to have a totally different effect than if your intent is to try to influence somebody or control somebody. Or, you know, how many of you enjoy being techniqued? Okay? You want somebody techniquing you? No? What? No hands at all? Okay? Oh, well, a little bit. Depends on the context, right? So I think your point is very powerful, and it's very important that if your intent is there and is congruent with what you're doing, it's going to be much more effective with what's going on. So, you know, just doing the technique in and of itself isn't going to have the same effect. It's likely that you have some experience in the past that you have some association with being touched on your right side, right? And how many of you, for example, when you were a little kid, mom comes up and grabs you like behind the arm and like drags you off somewhere? Anybody have that experience?
By the ear.
Yeah? Or by, yeah, grabbed me by the ear? She wasn't touching your ear, was she? No. Okay. But you see, sometimes as children, we'll have those kinds of experiences, and so we have associations with certain kinds of touch or the side of touch. So there may be something like that in your background that you have some association with being touched on that side. It's not just being on the right side,
right.
You said,
it's
is that?
Not being on the right side, it's the being touched on
being
the
touched
right
on the right side, side. Yeah.
So don't touch me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I also found out that when I was touching her, I can't help but smile. Like, I have a bigger smile when I touch her. It was like, why am I smiling so
yeah.
much? Yeah.
Yeah. So these are important things to notice. You know, again, remember, part of this training is about knowing yourself, knowing your patterns. And so you gain self-awareness with this of like, oh, wow, that's interesting. You know, and you can explore later maybe as to why those things or the causes of those things. There are other ways to explore that. But again, right now, all we're doing, this is about noticing, It's just noticing the differences. And it's important to keep that kind of clean, right? This is what this part of the training is about, is just noticing the differences.
Quick question on, like when I was standing to his left side, there was more rapport. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that we're the same kind of, we're kinesthetic. Mm-hmm. So is it typical or assumption that if someone's kinesthetic that we're always going to stand on that left-hand side of them to build rapport or no?
Well, let me answer it this way. Many of the distinctions that you're going to learn in NLP about patterns, okay? So you notice a pattern, and we'll talk about what it means to, you know, when people process more visually, auditorily, and kinesthetically, how do you notice that? There's a risk, however, to assign somebody and say they're a visual person or a kinesthetic person, because we have all of that available to us all of the time. And so we use all of them. It's just that in some contexts, we might be more present to one of them than others. So the important skill is to notice what's occurring in the present moment. Is the person processing visually in the moment? Because if you assign them and you say they're a visual person, and then they, in another context, they might be processing kinesthetically, and you'll miss it because you've already presupposed that they're visual. Does that make sense? So it's actually a better, higher skill to notice how they are in the moment and respond to that. And I would recommend not making the assumption that they're a visual person. Be more accurate to say, in this moment, I notice that they're giving me cues they're processing visually. So I may match with visual language or something. And left side or right side, again, it's more useful to notice what's being attacked by the stage here. It's more useful to really be responsive to what's happening in the present and respond to that. As we go through, you're going to learn lots of different distinctions, and so be careful with assigning a person a quality like that and then assuming they're always that way. Yeah. We're jumping ahead a little bit with the language and so on.
So me and Gary did it together. Even though he touched me, the way he was talking, the hand gestures made me feel that I don't want to cooperate with him. Mm-hmm. So I felt that touch is appropriate touch and contextual was very important.
Absolutely.
His touch didn't make me feel that I want to cooperate with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because his hand gestures were not appropriate in that context.
Right. Yeah, so context and also the combination of things, you know. And like we were talking about you made the comment about touch being very, very powerful, but it's in combination with other things, you know, that makes it either powerfully unhelpful or powerfully helpful, you know, because it could be tone of voice, all of these other things. So that's why experimenting with these things and noticing, doing them in different combinations, what effect they might have. And then as you practice with those, and you, then again, you can be more at choice. And you get really skilled at combining certain things together. And I don't want to jump too far into that. I get excited about it because you can really do some very amazing magical things by combining communication skills in different ways. But again, we're noticing, right? We're noticing the effects of that.
I think it's also interesting how context can make a big deal. Like when you're in Mexico, people touch all the time their arms, or in Latin countries, or in New York, when I go there, we always kiss when we see each other as friends, and then you come to San Francisco, you know, the same person. Even Americans, you won't do it. New York seems to have taken that on, Manhattan at least.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think the awareness, you still, there's context, but you also still need the acuteness to figure out what's going on with that person.
Absolutely.
In those situations.
Excellent point. You know, there are definite cultural differences, you know, not only within our country, you know, there's cultural differences between countries. I went to Peru in July, went down, did the Machu Picchu thing and all that. It was awesome. But, oh my gosh, I was like, overwhelmed with all the cultural differences, and even from city versus country, you know, city versus rural, there's huge differences. Village to village, Chinchero was very different from Ollantaytambo, from Agua Caliente. From city to city, it was different. There were lots of differences there. So, so there's cultural differences even within the United States, within cities, and so on. And, you know, I remember when in Salt Lake City, when I went through my NLP practitioner training, it was a bunch of the loviest, huggiest people, you know, And it was a big love fest. We'd get together every morning. Everybody's hugging in the afternoon. But for some people, that was very uncomfortable. And so we asked people to put on their name tag, if they were comfortable with hugging and that kind of thing, to put a heart on their name tag, okay? So we thought that was a good thing, right? We thought that was a helpful thing so that you know that it would be okay to hug somebody. Well, for other people, they felt excluded now. They weren't in the heart club, you know? And so they felt kind of like, you know, set apart in that way.